Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. We want to continue on our series on the divine nature, and this will be part number 4, and maybe will be our final part in the series. And, of course, as the Lord leads, because he decides we want to go further, he wants us to go further, we will. But right now, it's looking like that's going to be our last part on this series. So I want to kind of reiterate some of the points we made in the previous 3 parts and kind of go from there and see where we go.
Sounds good.
And before I do that, I want to introduce my sweetheart, the most beautiful woman in the world. Miss Norca Karina.
Hello, everyone. You can imagine I have a big smile on my face and my heart with all these wonderful words. I do have to say that I am very blessed. I am a very happy wife. I have a husband who is not only a wonderful husband, responsible, caring, but he is also very generous with his words and is always saying beautiful things to me. So I am very, very blessed. Encourage all the husbands to do that and the wives as well. So this topic has been so good, and the divine nature. This is, I'm sure, something that we have not only listened to, but it is our prayer, and we certainly hope so, that we are believing for this, that the listeners already have seen a change in their lives in the positive manner. Because our goal, as the Holy Spirit guides us, is to share these topics, share the Word of God, so that we can actually apply it to our lives and then see what amazing fruits come forth. So we are excited, and definitely we have to remind also the listeners that this is not limited to what you hear here on this podcast. Pray, ask the Holy Spirit to continue to teach you, to give you more revelation on this topic, and how and what do you have to do to continue to grow each day and be more like Jesus.
Amen, sweetheart, because that is what it's all about, is being conformed to the image of Christ.
That's right.
And fulfilling the will of God in this earth while we're here.
That's right.
And people talk about what, you know, what's going to be in the hereafter, in the life to come, and that's all good and great. And it's something for us to aspire to, but yet there's much to be had here in this life, and for the purpose of the things that God would have us to do while we're on the earth. Because once we're gone, once our time is up, then, you know, we're done here. Our work is over.
That's right.
And I would hope that most all of us would be wanting to fulfill that to the maximum capacity.
That's right.
You know, that we won't get to heaven and want to look back and say, you know, I wish I'd have done a whole lot of things different,
right.
You know, and having fallen short. No, I want to, you know, we've fallen short previously in things in our lives, of course, but the fact that we still have time left on earth is time for us to make adjustments, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I do believe, and I'm a big believer in this, that God can take what time we have left. Now, this just came to my heart to say this because I didn't plan on this. But there may be someone listening to this broadcast, you say, well, I've already lived so many years and I've already squandered so much time of, you know, not serving God. So what can God do with me now?
That's a
well,
good point.
You know what? There's a lot he can still do.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, we both have said this when we got married about how we believe that, you know, that story where Jesus turns the water into wine. And not only did he turn water into wine, he turned it into the best wine.
Mm.
And he didn't say to the people, well, you know, it's too bad for you because you should have planned ahead. You know, this is not my problem. You know, so, you know, you're out of luck. You know, no, he performed a miracle, but not only was the miracle a miracle, but it was a awesome miracle.
That's right.
The best wine ever made in creation, most likely.
Most likely.
Right? Because even the headmaster said that this was the best wine he's ever tasted.
He is so merciful.
And so, you know, I believe God can take your life, those of you who are listening.
That's right.
And he can turn around for good, and he can make up for what was lost.
And give us the latter rain.
Yeah.
That's right.
There's a scripture somewhere, I think in Isaiah, it talks about he'll give you double for, know, for your trouble. You know, he will he will restore the years that that cankerworm had eaten, you know, and those lost years.
What a good God.
He is very good and very merciful.
That's right.
So it's not too late to take on the divine nature.
No, it's not.
And to grow in those things and become all that God has for you. Even if it's 2 years or 5 years or 10 years left in your life, you can do a lot in those two or five or 10 years, maybe even more than you would have done in 30 or 40
That's
years
right.
previously.
With the wisdom and the knowledge now. And you know, you said something before we go home. You said there's a lot that we can do before we go home. And I'm almost sure that once we are home, or let's say someone in, you know, their last days here on earth, I don't think anyone looks back and says, oh, I wish I would have spent more time working, or I wish I would have spent more time, you know, washing dishes. All those things that we do, they're so important. But I believe usually people look back and wish they would have spent more time on what we know is truly essentials. And it's on those things that are pertaining eternity, those things that have to do with family, with inner growth, with making memories with those that we love, right? And how good it is now to actually start investing in our eternity, which is very wise, and in those things that if today was our last day, we would actually take care of those things. And that way, when our time comes, we won't have to look back with regret, but instead with great satisfaction. And something that you said the other day as well, you said, you know, when I get to heaven, I want to see Jesus with a big smile on his face because I did everything he asked me to do. And me too. I want to see a big smile on Jesus's face and just the happiness in his heart, being able to say, well done, well done. And as you said, maybe someone's listening and they're like, well, that's too late. I messed up. He's not going to say well done to me. Yes, he is. If we get back on track now and we do what the Holy Spirit is guiding us to do, as you said, even if it's for one day, 5 years, 20 years, the Lord is going to say, well done, because he honors obedience.
Yeah, and sometimes I find it's true that, you know, sometimes God will make up for lost time.
Yes.
Because, you know, some say, well, you know, if I'd had 40 years, like I should have walked with him, but I haven't, and I've only got 10 years now left, you know, perhaps through your humility, you're seeking God in tears and asking for forgiveness of squandering those years, he can maybe perhaps make up for that time. Because, you know, I see in the scripture where it says that God resists the proud,
That's right.
but gives grace to the humble. And there's this parable that Jesus taught about those who, you know, that those who went out to do work or were called to go to work. I don't remember it exactly. You might be able to remind me of this, sweetheart. But it's one who said he called them to go out and work, and they worked all day. And then others who were waiting around for work, and they didn't get called. When they did get called in the last hour, they got paid the same wages as the one who worked all day long. But the one who worked all day long was like, well, how come you didn't give me more?
Mm-hmm.
But he said, I gave you what we agreed to. Why are you envious of me blessing this other person? Because
right.
I gave them just as much, you know, for a shorter period of time. Well, sometimes a person's life or whatever environment they've been involved in is maybe being conducive to the fact that they didn't come to know the Lord, you know, and had the opportunity to walk with God. You know, because I grew up in a Christian home, so I had more, you know, opportunity to know the truth and walk in it than some others who may have never heard.
That's true.
And they came late in the game.
Right.
But God may be able to take that time you came late in the game and turn around and give a greater legacy to be left to others after you than those who've been doing it for their whole life. Because a lot of times I find out when a person's looking down on others, you ain't served God as long as I have. Mm-hmm. You ain't been in the Bible as long as I have. Mm-hmm. And looking down on them in disrespect, you know, oftentimes that's coming out of a heart of pride.
That's true.
And God's not going to bless that and honor that. But if a person who humbles themselves, he said, he who humbles himself, God will exalt him. And so,
as you're saying that, you know who comes to mind, that story that you mentioned of, I think it was Norval Hayes, that he was a businessman for many, many years before he was actually a Christian. Is that the right testimony?
Well, he had been a Christian, but he just hadn't been really walking with God like this, serving the Lord.
Right, but it was later in his life, right, that he turned it around. And boy, what an impact he had in his later years. So praise God. It's never, never too late. It's never too late.
It's never too late. Yes. So, you know, go for it. You know,
that's right.
No matter how much time you think you might left, if you think you've already squandered many years, no. God has still got you here on earth for a reason. If you're still above ground, you're still breathing, then God's still got a plan for you. Life is not over. It doesn't matter if you're 80 years old or 60 or 90 or whatever. God can use you, and he can use you mightily. So why not go for all that he has? And that obviously starts partly with what we're talking about here,
That's divine nature.
Because it's very difficult to fully function in the things that God has for us without the divine nature operating in us. Because otherwise we're more subject to the whims of the devil and the temptations of the flesh when we don't have the nature of Christ formed in us, because we're just
That's true.
That's true. You know, Jesus told his own disciples when they were in the garden, when he come back seeking them, he said, "Well, could you not have prayed with me 1 hour?" He said, "Pray and watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." He said, "For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Yes.
Right. And so, well, what's the remedy for the flesh being weak? It's the spirit becoming stronger.
That's right.
The stronger the spirit man becomes in Christ, the more that we will have dominion over the flesh.
Praise God.
The flesh still exists, but it won't have the dominion that it had previously when the spirit man is stronger, because Jesus walked in the flesh.
That's right.
In a human form, and was subject to temptations, but he never gave in to them because the spirit was strong.
Lord.
And when he was weak, he went to pray.
That's right.
And got strengthened, right? And prayer is one of those things that helps strengthen the person. So, you know, as we read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, where I want to go to, is, I think I will say it's my base scripture, even though I may have used other ones. Colossians 1:27, but look at verse back here, verse 26, verse 25. Paul says, "Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you,
Amen.
The hope of glory.
Amen.
Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in
Amen.
Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily." So the objective is for Christ to be formed in us, as he said this also, as we read, I think that was Galatians 4:19 that we were reading from previously, sweetheart. And as I'm turning to that, I'm sure you've got something you can add here.
If you recall on Sunday, we mentioned that the importance of prayer, you know, you said that about Jesus, and I know you said it quickly, but truly the listeners, we believe the Holy Spirit is going to reiterate this in your spirit, in your soul, and this is going to echo the power of prayer, the need of prayer. I loved it. Maybe you didn't realize how powerful that was, that statement that Jesus walked here on earth as a man, but he walked in the spirit. And when he was weak, he prayed. That's very powerful. That's very insightful. And I'm embracing this myself, because many times we try to find strength in different ways, but we can only find strength in the one who is our strength, and that's through prayer. And, you know, and sometimes I say this because sometimes we may be in a circumstance where we're not able to actually kneel down. But listen, even if you can't kneel down, that doesn't mean you can't pray. Sometimes we need those moments as we're driving. Sometimes even as you're tending to your children, you know, the crying babies, and you just can't stop at that moment, or you're in the factory. Hey, you may be in a prison. Maybe you're in a hospital bed and you just can't kneel down. But how good it is to know that God can listen to us. No matter our posture, physical posture, the most importantly is the posture of our heart. That we're coming humbly before him and we're asking him for help. God is good. God is good. So I really had to just repeat that, because that was very, very, not just inspirational, that was powerful.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Praise God.
All praises to the Lord.
Amen.
And yes, as it says here in Galatians 4:19, he says, my little children, from whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you.
That's
so
right.
His objective was to help them through his labors, you know, through his teaching, his instruction, his praying for them, is so that Christ would form in them. You know, as we saw that mystery, he said, which was revealed, was hidden to previous generation, which was Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the divine nature of God through Jesus Christ being formed in us to the max, to the fullness, you know, so that we can be all that he desired for us to be and do all that he desired for us to do. And I know, just as I was repeating here, you know, I'll repeat here again, as I said a few moments ago, is that it's very difficult to accomplish the will of God in the earth by being a weak Christian dominated by the flesh.
Yes, it is.
It's practically impossible, because the flesh is too given to temptation, to desires for other things, and the weaknesses that hinder it and can keep it from being able to do the things that they need to do, because they're too sidetracked by so many things. And, you know, of course, some of the things are sinful, but some things are just the weak, inherent weaknesses. Like when Peter denied Jesus, I have to believe, it doesn't say this in the scriptures, but to me, it's evident. When Peter denied Jesus those three times, look back to what he said to him in the garden. He said, could you not pray with me for 1 hour?
Yeah.
He said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So when the temptation came,
he was weak.
He's weak and he fell to the fear.
He was very afraid.
And see, these are things that I've experienced myself before. You know, sometimes I haven't felt like wanting to pray because I want to sleep. And yet that was when the attack was on. And that's when I needed to pray the most. You know, who knows? Maybe I needed to pray for 1 hour, like Jesus said. Could you not pray, pray with me for 1 hour? And then the temptation wouldn't come. What temptation was it? Well, during the night or during the next day, I was just a heaviness on me, oppression, and just feeling, depression or whatever, you know, and not necessarily sinful things in themselves. You know, because those are a lot of things that's, you know, you've been in my past life. But now it's like, well, it's just the weakness. Why not pray for that 1 hour in the middle of the night? Maybe somebody listening to this now needs to hear this.
That's true.
You know, that maybe you wake up at 2 o'clock or 3 or 4 in the morning and you just can't sleep. And you just lay there and you let all these negative thoughts come into your mind and just oppress you until you feel depressed and you fall back asleep, and then you have all kinds of bad dreams, and you wake up feeling, you know, you don't even want to live, you know, you just want to end your life or whatever it might be. And yet, maybe if we took that time while we're laying there to pray, to take authority over the evil spirits,
and
worship God instead of just being lazy. I admit to having been that way. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're going to lay there that hour anyway awake, apparently, because we're not sleeping.
We might as well pray.
We might as well get our Bible, turn on the light, read some scriptures. Or if you're, you know, you're in bed with your spouse and you don't want to disturb them and they need a good night's rest, and maybe go into the other room, another room, and turn the light on there and read some scriptures and pray and until that thing passes. And I say that because I think of some situations that I've heard other ministers talk about. I'll give one example. Is Brother Hagin was talking about a young man that had epileptic seizures, and he had prayed for him and broke the power of the evil one off of him because it was demonic. And he had come back, I don't know, was it a year later, 2 years later, I don't know, or so many months later, back to that church that he had visited while he was preaching there. And he said as soon as he walked in the side door, he said his eyes fell on that young man that he was there before. And he said the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him and said, he said, he's not had a seizure since last night, last 2 weeks, you know. But this is what happened. He went to bed and he became afraid. I guess the devil attacked him with fear. And he went asleep afraid because he didn't resist it. He said that thing got back on him.
Oh, what a shame.
And see, oftentimes the enemy comes at our weakest moments, you know, such as when we're tired or we're, you know, we've been burdened down with heavy work or whatever, you know, weary. And he tries to take advantage of those times. And if we're not ready for them, then he'll take us down another notch or two. And how long does it take us to recover and get back up? Well, someone might say, what's this got to do with the divine nature? Well, the divine nature, as it continues to form in us, which is Christ in us, as it said, Christ in us, the hope of glory, the hope of God's expectation, his nature is going to form us more and more, where we have the desire more and more to want to pray.
Amen.
We have the desire to read the word. We have the desire to turn off the TV. You know, I used to years ago, I'll just tell on myself a little bit, you know, because these are things I've overcome. Praise God for
Amen.
That.
God's
but
mercy.
One of the things that used to plague me many years ago was when I got depressed, I would watch TV hours and hours and hours, or go to the movies and watch two or three movies back to back.
And most likely not happy ones, right?
No, they were just, you know, regular movies, whatever. Okay. They weren't exciting or anything. You know, I mean, even if they were, I was depressed. Mm-hmm. And it was just a means of me trying to pacify the time, you know, or go to bed and sleep.
That's the hopelessness.
Yeah, you know, and hope it would go away. And see, that's how a lot of people deal with depression and hopelessness, is they try to sleep it away, mm-hmm. or they try to watch TV until it goes away. And you know what? Sometimes you can watch TV for the whole weekend, from Friday night to Sunday to Monday morning, and you're still depressed. You know, because I used to do that. And, you know, I didn't enjoy it. I didn't really enjoy the TV watching because I was depressed.
And it
didn't take it away.
And that's why this is so important, you know, to be able to share this with the listeners, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, because sometimes we do things because we just don't know. We just haven't been taught what's the right thing to do. And like as you were saying, you know, people who are in a certain condition or feeling miserable, feeling depressed, oppressed, and you just actually just feed it even more. A couple of days ago, as a matter of fact, I was speaking to a very bright young lady, very admirable in terms of her character, her sense of responsibility, a beautiful mother. And she was telling me how depressed she's feeling. And we were talking, you know, about what to do. And of course, immediately I have to bring up the Holy Spirit as our number one helper. And, you know, she did share the medications she's taking. And if that's what the Holy Spirit guides you to do, of course, by all means. But never excluding God. Always include God in your healing.
Amen.
And then do what he tells you to do. My point is that she said, you know, I'm feeling so depressed these days. What I'm doing now is that as I'm driving, as I go to work, I'm just listening. And she mentioned a couple of singers that I know that they are very famous for singing very sad songs. So she was just letting me understand, I am so depressed that this is the only thing I want to listen to. And you would think that it would be the opposite, right? If you're thirsty, you want to get rid of the thirst, right, by drinking water. If you're hungry, you want to get rid of the hunger by eating, right? But it's so weird. So isn't it kind of self-revealing that this is not just something normal? You know, that maybe the enemy, you know, in many cases has something to do with it, that the more depressed, the more you want to remain in it and feed it. So I said to her, what? If you're feeling sad, why in the world would you listen to those songs purposely? She said, that's what I feel like I want to hear. It's like, you know, misery loves company. And I said, no, you need to start listening to worship. You need to start changing what you're listening Amen. To. And I truly believe, you know, God willing, praise God, that she took the advice. But just of something very important to always keep in mind, that when, you know, those moments come, and I think it happens to all of us, some people remain in that state for longer periods, but it happens to all of us. No, if you feel that oppression, if you feel that depression, if you feel that hopelessness, the last thing you want is to actually feed it. You need to resist it. And of course, you might say, you don't understand. I don't feel like doing. It doesn't matter what you don't feel like doing. We have to be courageous, brave, get up, stop listening to your own thoughts, turn on the worship, read the Bible, speak to the Lord. We need to understand that God is with us and he can help us, but we cannot say, I'm so thirsty, I'm not going to drink any water because I want to remain thirsty. That doesn't make any sense. The enemy wants you to say that. But no, God wants to fill your soul with living waters. And he is the one who can actually satisfy us regardless of how we feel. You know what? Sometimes you need to cry and actually let the Lord wash your soul. Sometimes you need to speak to someone you truly trust and share what's inside. Sometimes you just need a moment, you know, of course, you have to pray. So ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? Don't trust your emotions on that moment, what you feel like doing, because of course you're going to feel like staying in bed and just calling someone who's going to encourage you to continue crying and join in the petty party. But no, there is one, the Holy Spirit, who has promised that he is going to help you and see you through it, not just so that he can sympathize, not just to sympathize with you and say, you poor thing. The Lord definitely understands what we're going through, definitely. But the good thing about him is that he actually strengthens us so that we can overcome that darkness and we can see the light, which is the truth, who is, of course, Jesus Christ.
Amen, sweetheart. That's good advice. And on that note about strengthening, you know, that's oftentimes what a person needs, because, you know, I can sympathize with people who have struggled with depression and those type of things, feeling like you just can't go on, feeling like you just want to stay in bed or whatever. And you've encouraged me a lot, sweetheart, in some of those times and trials that I've had. And even like today, you know, the last couple of days has been pretty tough. And I felt a breaking happen right about the time that we went to pick up that young lady from school.
Awesome.
And things changed right then. Now, it didn't, you know, 100% of the oppression attacking me wasn't gone, but enough significant lifted off of me where I felt better.
Amen.
Right? And, you know, there was a strengthening that took place there.
Amen.
And a help that came from God through our prayers because we had been praying. So I want us to pray for people right now because I really feel this is what the Lord is leading us to do here.
Amen.
Is that God will strengthen you with more of the divine nature.
Amen.
More of His desire and power to resist the temptations.
Which is not salvation. We should make that clear as well, right? We're speaking to those born-again Christians because somebody might be listening and say, oh no, does that mean I'm not saved? No, we're talking about men and women who have given their heart to the Lord that are actually going through this.
Right, right.
The divine
right.
nature in for them.
Yes, this is for the born-again believer. But, you know, now that you mention that for the unsaved, you know, God can send an angel to touch you.
Amen.
And give you some strength in the inner person, you know.
That's
but
right.
yet you still need to be born again and That's receive right. Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And we'll get that in a few minutes here.
Yes.
But for those of you that are born again and have the Holy Spirit in you, but you just feel like you're defeated, you're weakened, you're beat down, and you need some extra help right now. So we're going to pray because I understand those feelings. And my wife knows as well, too. She's experienced it. So in the name of Jesus, Father God, we just pray that you extend your hand to those listening now that have need of this prayer of strengthening power. Because your word tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus, which applies to all of us. He said, for this reason, in verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, the listener, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man.
Amen.
That he would grant you to be strengthened with might. That word in the Greek is dunamis, power. Amen. He would strengthen you with power through his Spirit, by his Spirit, in your inner man, so that Christ will dwell in your heart through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the height, with length, and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, that's the
Amen.
Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Working through us and in you, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. So we pray, Lord, strengthen him right now by the power of your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As we
Jesus.
Pray through these words, strengthen him with yes. that might right now in the name of Jesus, just as if we were touching them right now through our words to this podcast.
Amen.
Make them stronger and more resistant against this depression, against any heaviness, anything that's holding them down,
Amen.
That they can break through
Amen.
And get the victory
in the name of Jesus.
And walk in that divine nature
Amen.
Because your divine nature is in them and is forming in them more fully. And we believe that right now by
Hallelujah.
Faith. And we come against any evil spirits or forces of darkness
yes.
and we bind them and break their power off of those mm-hmm. who need it right now in Jesus' name.
Amen. And we rebuke all spirit of death in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you know, and praise God for this. We truly believe that, listeners, this has been so refreshing for us and for so many people that are listening, and even those that are being strengthened, that now you will be able to strengthen others. Please, please, don't be selfish. Share this podcast with someone else. You never know who needs it even more than you. So praise God for this. You know, as you were sharing about Jesus and having to be, having the need to be strengthened, and how God is so merciful and so Jehovah Jireh that he comes and strengthens us and gives us exactly what we need. You know who else came to mind? Well, Jesus said his he said that his soul was so sad. He said to death, right? And I thought of Samson. Samson, the word teaches us that Delilah had questioned him so many times about his strength. And well, you guys know the story. If you don't, please make sure you read it. And it says right before he gave up the secret that he was saddened to the point of death, where he just did not want to live anymore. And we see here two people, of course, totally different scenarios, but their souls are saddened. They needed to be strengthened. Samson didn't do anything about it. On the contrary, he gave in. And Jesus, of course, not because he was in sin, but on the contrary, because what was being called of him, what he had to do was so humongous that he needed that supernatural strength. But my point is, their souls were saddened, and they both had different results because they both did different things. And of course, we know the glorious result with Jesus, that even though, of course, he went to the cross because that's why he came to earth, he was strengthened and he actually fulfilled the plan and the purpose of his existence here as a man. So that's a wonderful thing for us to remember. We cannot stress it enough. Prayer, 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 speaking to the Lord and asking him for strength. And of course, we cannot end the podcast without extending the invitation and asking you, have you ever asked Jesus into your heart? And you may be saying, of course, I know about Jesus. Yes, it's not, the question is not, do you know that Jesus is real? Do you know that you need a Savior? That's the question. And do you know that Jesus Christ is the only one who can forgive your sins? Because he was the only one who came to the cross and died for you. Many people around you maybe love you, but nobody gave their life for you, and nobody has the power to forgive your sins, only Jesus. So the invitation is for you today to make the biggest and best decision of your life and ask Jesus to forgive you and to give you his life. In exchange, you give him your sins. And you know what happens? An amazing thing. You are then born again, and you are now adopted into the family of God. And you are, as of today, if you ask Jesus, as of today, you then become a child of God.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to end this podcast here and this series on the divine nature. And we're going to trust that many are going to receive Amen. This instruction, encouragement, and they're going to increase in the divine nature as Christ is formed in them. That's and that right. They can fulfill the full will of God for their lives.
Hallelujah.
So God bless everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.